The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to The Rawcast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo Reese?
Ain't nothing, man. Just ready to talk some wrestling.
Yeah, man, we're about to get it in here another week on The Rawcast amidst all the, outbreaks and the restart of the pandemic again. So hopefully everybody out there is being safe, getting ready for their 4th of July weekend. With no fireworks.
You know how it go.
Unless you live.
But they've been shooting them off. You know, like it's nothing around up here. So.
Yeah, it's been 4th of July for like the last month up there, though, right?
Last 2 months.
So hope everybody is safe, enjoys themselves, has a good time. And hopefully, you know, if you're traveling, this podcast can give you a little bit of entertainment between your destinations. So, Mota underscore Reese, we start Monday Night Raw off real hot and exciting this week as when we come on the air, Sasha Banks and Asuka are in the midst of a brawl. Looks like we're going to have a contract signing, but Samoa Joe is trying to, you know, get control of the situation. We got Bayley in there helping Sasha beat up Asuka. They're just, you know, Tasmanian deviling all across the ring. When they finally do decide to get that thing broken up, Dolph Ziggler comes out. He, you know, he talks about his opportunity to get the title. He talks about him and Drew's relationship. The usual contract signing thing. Dolph gets to, you know, wants to talk some more. Asuka cuts him off. She talks some trash to Asuka. Asuka grabs the contract. She signs it. Sasha says she's not the same Asuka that she's not the same that Asuka once faced before. She's going to be two belt Banks. Her and Bayley are taking over the whole damn company. Sasha has a stamp for her signature, just like she did at NXT back in the day. That's when Asuka attacks Sasha, so we get, you know, the brawl started up again. Dolph tries to kick Drew, but Drew stops it. He goes for a claymore, but he misses. Dolph slides out of the ring. Asuka and Drew stand tall in the ring with their titles.
Like I said yesterday, or during the broadcast, I said Bayley and Sasha is the whole effing show. You know, a little playoff of RVD, but, you know, I really am enjoying their traveling to different brands and everything. You know, it's been real interesting, and it's how, you know, Bayley's on, you know, this whole signing everything. Sasha is really taking us back to when she was that top heel on NXT. It was a good little opening segment.
Yeah, it was real strong. And Dolph and Drew, yeah, they were there too.
Right. It was just like the lady stole the show, as always. So it's like, hey, let's go.
Angel Garza, he's backstage. He's trying to butter up Jess the ref. Charlie comes in for the interview. She's kind of like, hey, why are you talking to the ref like that? Selena comes in. It's like, over here, two buck Chuck. She says they were just making sure that the ref called the match down the middle. Charlie does have the question, though. If they beat the Viking Raiders, who they face tonight, do they think they will be next in line for the title shot? We don't get an answer from... Oh, yeah, we do, actually. Andrade is like, yes, we do. Big Show comes in. He cuts them off. He says, actually, he's going to go up next, so they'll have to wait. Big Show's upset, so he had to wait an entire week to call Randy Orton out. Instead of Randy Orton, though, Garza and Andrade come out. Big Show apologizes for interrupting, but he says he's on important business. He's not in the mood to play. Don't try him right now. Andrade says that Orton says the Show is a legend. Andrade laughs this off. Show wants to punch him in the face, saying he's got boots older than Andrade. He tells Garza to stand on the shoulders of Andrade if he wants to talk his trash. A legend? Doesn't matter, says Garza. Big Show will learn that the street profits will soon realize. And then Show wants to fight, and he drops the mic. Selena's like, nah, we're going to do Randy Orton a favor. They're going to beat up Big Show for disrespecting them. Show's days on Raw are numbered. That's when the Nature Boy comes out. He tells Selena he's got a lot of respect for her and that he's got to have a word with his old friend, the Big Show. He says no one's going to handle his career, focus on the future of his career except for his friend, the legend killer, the greatest wrestler alive, Randy Orton. Flair says Orton will come when he feels like it. He says Flair is doing Orton's light work. He says Big Show has been making cartoons on Netflix, and that's great. He said he's had his day in the sun, but if Big Show plays with Orton, one thing will happen. Big Show will be, will get kicked in the head eventually. Big Show then offers Garza and Andrade to attack him, but before they do, the Viking Raiders come out. So we get our tag team match, the Viking Raiders versus Angel Garza and Andrade. Garza is able to post Eric on the outside. Eric then eats an elbow from Andrade. Garza gets back in the ring. We get the double underhook, the wing clipper, and the cover for the 1-2-3 as Angel Garza and Andrade, LWO 2.0, get the win.
The clean pin victory was a shocker. I mean, I was just like, wow, he beat him. He pinned them. I said, normally this was like when they first got called up. This wouldn't even been a thing. But now, it's just crazy. But pretty good match. You can still see that they're teasing a breakup between those two because Andrade was upset that Angel got the pin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's still some underlying tension amongst these two guys. They're not as cohesive a unit as Zelina Vega is trying to make us believe that they are. Backstage, the Iconics, they walk up to Ruby Riott and they make fun of her for not having any friends. It's kind of like she has no wins either. Ruby is wondering who it was that blew their tag team title shot last week. Was it them? Peyton says at least they have each other. Ruby asks for one of them to meet her in the ring and the other one to pick the one she beats up and take them to the back. How does that sound? Ruby Riott makes fun of their Iconic tagline and she walks off. Backstage, Andrade and Garza, they're celebrating. The Nature Boy comes in. He says, great win. He says they aren't on fire and they've never looked better. Flair says he needs to speak with all three of them privately. So what is Ric Flair doing there, man?
Well, you know what he's doing, dog. Do we not need to? Do we need not to need to read between the lines?
I mean, but he
as Tony Schiavone would say, pop. Call him pop. Yeah. So you know, hey, like I said, when your future father-in-law speak, you better listen.
We have R-Truth versus Tozawa 24/7 championship match. Truth goes for the leapfrog. He pretends to hurt his knee. That gives a little bit of moment of weakness for Tozawa, who gets caught with a roll up, and R-Truth wins the 24/7 championship for like the 30th time. Title back home where it belongs.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool and all. I'm kind of wishing they'd do something more with it, you know, like they did previously, but this is just basically going to be not something that we're going to really be looking forward to.
One of the ninjas, after the match, tries to roll R-Truth up. He gets a two count, and the ninja comes in and tries to attack, but R-Truth leaves the ring, and he runs through the crowd. We get some highlights.
Hold on. Oh, yeah. Hold on real quick. See what happens when you don't have Todd Bruce Leroy on the show 2 weeks in a row? Things fall apart. I mean, bring back the big, tall, black ninja, and we can probably do some, probably have some, you can probably have some protection, like Kara, but, you know, hey. We ain't seen Todd Bruce Leroy in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's over and done with.
I know. And it's unfortunate because we could have had fun with that.
We move on to Apollo and MVP from last week. Backstage, MVP says that Apollo's offer is dead, and so are his chances of holding on to the United States title. He says even though the kid disrespected MVP, he likes him a lot, so before they take everything from him, MVP wants to drop a few gems on him. So they walk on past in the back. They pass Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy. Seth is there with Ray's mask. Seth says that this is the most important message to date, and he's got to deliver it now. So basically, we just have a big old thing where Seth Rollins comes down there, and he talks about Rey Mysterio and upholding his duty, and Ray hasn't been seeing things too clearly. Ray's duty is to be sacrificed for the future of Raw. Says he's given Ray every chance to take the easy way out and do this on his own terms, yet he has to fight him at every turn. What Seth must do now is important. He says he wants to ask for forgiveness. He begs forgiveness, not for what he has done, but for what he is forcing Seth Rollins to do in the future. He says they are bound by fate, and fate would have it, Seth is the Messiah, and Ray is a sacrifice for the greater good. So the same message he's been kind of preaching for the past month. Ray gets on with Dominic on the Titantron. Ray wants forgiveness too. He asked for forgiveness from his son for what he must do to Seth, for what he did to his eye, what he tried to do to Dom. He said he was mad at Dominic, but he loves him for what he did. Ray must now do something to Seth just as bad as what he did to Ray. He tells Seth an eye for an eye in English and Spanish. Dom says he forgives his father, but he will never forgive Seth Rollins. Seth will never forgive what Ray does to him. Seth says Dom has strong words. Seth basically says that he was going to be forced to end Dominic's wrestling career before it ever begins.
This was interesting to watch. Well, first, where's Austin Theory? You know, that's the question.
I don't know if Austin Theory was like, man, I'm leaving it at the house, or they then shifted to, you know, a deck chair, and he's off the boat now. I don't know.
Yeah, it was just kind of this shit. Him and Murphy, I mean, Rollins and Murphy, and it was like, either somebody's not feeling well, or that could be the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never know. Aleister Black and Humberto Carrillo, they come out from behind and clear Seth Rollins and Murphy out of the ring. They actually let Humberto Carrillo get on the mic and speak. He talks about Ray being his hero and how Seth Rollins is nothing but a coward. He's less than a man than Ray. Aleister Black says he knows a thing or two about evil, and when he recognizes it, when he sees it, and he will not forgive Seth, for there will only be atonement. Seth says Aleister Black hasn't seen anything yet, and this ends now. And then we have our match, tag team match, Murphy and Seth Rollins versus Aleister Black and Humberto Carrillo.
And we are back here on Monday Night Raw, tag team match with Humberto Carrillo and Aleister Black against Murphy and Seth Rollins. Rollins finally makes the tag, and Humberto Carrillo caught the clutches of the Messiah.
Humberto Carrillo was just inches away from tagging in Aleister Black. Look out.
Oh, Humberto Carrillo. Oh, and down goes the Messiah. After earlier tonight, Byron, Seth Rollins claimed he was going to ask for forgiveness, when in fact that could have been further from the truth.
Yeah, Seth Rollins might have dug his own hole that he can't climb out of. We heard from Rey Mysterio, who said that he's going to be just as remorseless as what Seth was to him.
And in his revenge, Rey Mysterio, tag made by Murphy. And now a tag made. And here comes Aleister Black going to put right to the face of Rollins.
And everybody's getting it.
And Aleister Black takes down Murphy. Black and Carrillo, who fought alongside Rey Mysterio in the past, fighting on his behalf tonight. Now Rollins Could we be closing in on the end of this matchup? And, oh, wait a minute. Aleister Black taking Murphy off of the apron.
And Seth Rollins is looking for that.
Oh, Murphy got it. That distracted Rollins. Oh, Carrillo nearly had him. Oh, and the stop to Carrillo. Seth Rollins and Murphy score the win. Aleister Black not going to let Rollins celebrate, but Murphy all over Black.
Murphy and Seth Rollins mauling Aleister Black.
After a hard-fought match, Aleister Black dumped to the outside by the Monday Night Messiah, and here comes Murphy.
And gentlemen, when it comes to Seth Rollins, nothing that happens out here is good for him.
Oh, into the timekeeper's area.
Absolutely right, Joe. We know what Seth Rollins is capable of.
You want to be a hero, huh? You want to be a hero? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Heroes wear masks, don't they? You look just like your idol. Drag him over there.
This is sick, man. Just force Rey Mysterio's mask onto Carrillo. Carrillo's defenseless.
This is not just for your own good. This is for the greater good.
Oh, no. Not this.
God, don't fight it.
Rollins trying to pierce the eye of Carrillo. And here comes Aleister Black, saving Alberto Carrillo. Oh,
goodness for Aleister Black. Was that Seth Rollins meaning of trying to end this?
Oh, Black fights off Murphy.
Oh, wait. No.
Oh, no. The stomp into the steel.
And Rollins is out of here.
Humberto Carrillo, concussion protocol.
Yeah, he ate two of them stomps. And I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, he got it bad.
Yes, he did.
Are you excited as to see, even though this is being totally built for Rey and Seth, I think the more intriguing match, though, is Seth and Aleister Black.
Yes, if they're working their way up to it, this would be a pretty good match between those two. I definitely would want to see those two go at it.
Drew's backstage. He's trying to offer Asuka assurance that she'll get her revenge tonight. They are asked what they are hoping to gain by facing Sasha and Dolph. Drew says that they're just going to have a little fun tonight. Lana rolls up on Ruby Riott. She says that she was inspired by a woman who has more wins than any other woman in the division, more so than Asuka even. That someone is someone that they can believe in, and that is Natalya.
She has that many wins?
You know, promotion.
Yeah, I was like, she has that many wins? I was like, this is a new, she probably built a new stable for herself. Is that what she's doing?
It looks like she might be trying to do that.
I mean, this is like her and Bobby are done, so gotta have something for her.
Yeah, that's true. The Boo, the Bay, Poison Ivy herself, Peyton Royce, faced off against Ruby Riott. Billie Kay is on the apron, and she distracts Ruby Riott. Peyton rolls up Ruby for the two count. We get a backslide into her crucifix for another two count. Then we get a high kick to Ruby Riott and a spinning brain buster from Peyton Royce, and she gets the pin and the victory over Ruby Riott.
Oh, man. I mean, can't even call it.
spinning brain buster looked beautiful from Peyton Royce.
Yeah. She's really, really has been working.
Yeah. You're getting ready to have another breakout performer in the tag team. So you know what that calls for.
Go ahead and Kate.
Barbershop window time, Billy. I would be.
You think this will happen?
They've been kind of teasing it a little bit. Peyton Royce is clearly the star, but they shouldn't break up, though. They're better together than they are apart.
Right.
Charlie's backstage. She's talking to the Big Show. She asks Big Show, does he think Randy Orton is trying to trap him? Show says he grew up in South Carolina. Ric Flair was his hero. Ric Flair was the man when he was growing up, but then he got into the business and he learned that Ric Flair is just the dirtiest player in the game, and now he's mentoring the Apex Predator, meaning Randy Orton is that dangerous as well. He welcomes the challenge and asks Orton to please come try him, find out why he's the Big Show. And as far as Angel and Andrade, they picked a bad night, and they will face Big Show in a handicap match up next. So, Big Show versus Andrade and Angel Garza. Andrade gets a blind tag, trying to take advantage of Angel's work. He shoves Angel out of the ring, saying that this is his moment. Angel leaves the ring. He grabs the mic. He says, okay, if he wants his moment, he's got it. Big Show then hits Andrade with the chokeslam, and he pins him for the 1-2-3. And then after the match, for his troubles, Andrade caught the KO punch as well.
Yeah. I mean, he turned, boom, and Andrade was sleeping.
I don't know why they keep using Andrade and Garza the way they are, how they are, if they're trying to build them up to be like credible threats for the tag team titles. It's like you couldn't get two jobbers from NXT to come do this.
Well, who's in charge of Monday Night Raw now? Because when it was somebody else was in charge, we were getting jobbers to come up. I mean, enhancement talent coming up from NXT to, you know, do the job and everything. But when the writers got fired, whatever, and somebody got shifted over from SmackDown, they going to run a show how Vince wants to be ran. So we're not going to get intelligent booking. We're going to get lackluster booking, so to speak. So there it is.
Backstage, Apollo is talking to Cedric and Rick O'Shea. Remember them?
Yeah, look kind of familiar.
R-Truth comes up, says he finally got rid of all the ninjas. He then calls Cedric the Entertainer. He then calls Ricochet Richard O'Shea. Ricochet tries to correct them, but Apollo's just like, man, just go with it. So, nice little fun segment in the back just to show Apollo and Ricochet are here and they might have some business on Raw to attend to tonight. MVP comes out. He says that when he goes home to Miami, people call him an OG because he made it out of the hood. How can they be like him? He says, well, they can't be like MVP, but he says he can inspire them. What does all of this matter if you don't give back? Which is why this isn't such an honor and a joy to allow him to help Lashley. He says, sometimes you get people that take a heartfelt gesture and ignore and reject it. He says he will not be respected by Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews comes out here to interrupt MVP. He wonders what MVP is talking about. He says he never disrespected him. He says MVP is self-made, so is Apollo Crews. MVP cares about only himself, and he should have listened. He kept pushing and pushing and pushing Apollo Crews, though. So we have our match, MVP versus Apollo Crews. MVP beats down on Apollo in the corner. MVP misses the big boot in the corner. Lashley provides a distraction. Apollo Crews is about to do some type of top rope maneuver, so he kind of gets stalled out. MVP hits the ropes. He comes off the ropes. He hits the big boot. Then he follows that up with the fisherman suplex. And MVP gets the clean win in the middle over United States champion Apollo Crews.
Didn't expect that to happen, but hopefully they're going somewhere with this.
Yeah, they're going to Bobby Lashley facing Apollo Crews because Apollo is pissed. He attacks MVP. Bobby Lashley comes in to stop the attack. He locks in the full Nelson. Ricochet and Cedric Alexander, they come down to help out. Cedric hits like an enziguri. Ricochet hits a top rope drop kick. Bobby Lashley finally lets go of the hold. That leads to Ricochet versus Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley catches Ricochet. He lifts him up and spine busters him down. Lashley goes for the full Nelson. He locks it in. And Ricochet has to tap out. Cedric comes in to try to help. And he gets full Nelson as well.
So there's probably a good reason as to why Ricochet was on the show for the night, this episode.
Mm-hmm. Promotion.
I mean, we have promotion for that 365 that's going to be on the network.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you said, what you say, you just said it from Sunday Night Heat to main event?
Yep. Yep. Been quite the year for our man.
Oh, my goodness.
Backstage, Dolph Ziggler's trying to tell Sasha and Bayley that he can help them out with the pointers if necessary. The girls laugh him off. They tell Dolph not to screw this up. So we have our match, Drew McIntyre and Asuka versus Sasha Banks and Dolph Ziggler. Sasha locks in the bank statement. Asuka breaks the hold. She gets the flying armbar and transitions into the Asuka lock. But Sasha rolls out of the Asuka lock and she gets the pin on Asuka. 1, 2, 3. And that is how we ended Monday Night Raw.
That's wow. Sasha getting the pin.
Yep, Nia didn't pin her. But Sasha did. I said Nia couldn't pin her, but Sasha did.
Right.
Yep, so that was Raw. Before we get too far from Raw, what'd you think about it? Overall thoughts, concerns?
At times it was losing me. I'm sitting here watching and I'm like, okay. Everything is going on, you know. I knew some changes was gonna come. So just watching it and I'm just like at some points I was just like, okay, we could have did without this, we could have did without that. You know, I understand you're trying to build Lashley to be have this big strong. I mean, he got MVP and that's really helping him. But at the same time, it's just that whole stick is getting old. Like he's putting on the four Nelson and he's just this unstoppable monster and everything. And I'm like I'm trying to be appreciative. We have, you know, somebody in that role that we can look at and we can relate to, but at the same time, I'm just not seeing it for him. Like I said, I'm glad Sasha got the win.
Now we'll turn over to hit the highlights from SmackDown this past week, just because, you know, we've been neglecting SmackDown a little bit. Hopefully Miss Didi Jonet will be returning soon.
She was in the hashtag last night, so, you know, yeah. Hopefully we get to hear a lovely voice.
Yeah.
You know, I miss hearing her commentary and everything, so.
They basically had an Undertaker retirement party, thank you, tribute night. So we start off with everybody out, you know, basically. Hold on.
So you know how when they say, oh, okay, all we want you to do is go out here and say, thank you, Taker. Big E always got to be the one that goes the extra mile.
Yes. you know, they replay the Boneyard match. Then Baron Corbin gets in the ring and he starts calling out The Undertaker. And, you know, basically telling him he sucks and he was a, you know, addict for the business for 30 years and blah, 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 blah. That's when Jeff Hardy runs into the ring. He beats up Corbin in the name of The Undertaker. Nikki Cross, she won a four-way to determine the number one contender for the SmackDown Women's title. So she's going to go face Bayley at Extreme Rules. So good for Nikki Cross. Lucha House Party. They got the pin over The Miz and Morrison in an 8-man tag that saw Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro team up against The Miz and Morrison against The New Day and the Lucha House Party. Looks like they're warming up Nakamura and Cesaro to go against the New Day for the tag team title, so that should be a lot of fun.
I'm surprised that Lucha House Party got the pin on me, like the clean pin.
Sure did. Yeah, me too. Braun Strowman challenges Bray Wyatt to some type of like backwoods swamp match for Extreme Rules for the title, and Jeff Hardy beat Baron Corbin with the top rope senton. After the match, Baron Corbin attacked Jeff Hardy. The New Day came in to protect him. Big E hit the big end into Corbin. Jeff Hardy gets up. He tells Braun Strowman to get into the ring. Braun Strowman comes, hits Corbin with the power slam. Then Jeff Hardy invites Matt Riddle into the ring. Matt Riddle hits the floating bro onto Baron Corbin. And that's how we end the SmackDown for this past Friday.
And it's crazy because we, it's like came back from a commercial break and all of a sudden you see people, like you see wrestlers around the ring. I'm like, well, hold up, when is it become a lumber person match? Like, when did all of this, they come around? And I realized, you know, it was basically Baron Corbin taking the fall because we said about taking everything.
Yeah. Which is apparently Baron Corbin is like, really, dudes? That's the best y'all could come up for me.
So speaking of Baron Corbin, apparently, from what I've been reading in the news and everything, they're building. It's going to be him and Matt Riddle's going to be his first challenger and everything. But the fact of the matter is, I guess they said Matt Riddle knew about these plans before he did. I guess it was like months or weeks in advance he knew about it, and Corbin didn't know. He was kind of upset when he found out that he was going to be, you know, the first shot for the new kid on the block, the new bro on the block, rather, when he got called up and everything.
Okay, well,
so
do your job.
Kind of feelings about that.
Be a heel, get the kid over.
Exactly.
And so that's basically the last two nights of WWE programming. That was basically the appetizer for what is going to be just a fantastic Wednesday of wrestling, starting with the New Japan Cup semifinals, then heading over to the Fyter Fest card from AEW featuring Cody versus Jake Hager. We're going to have Hangman Page and Kenny Omega defending their tag team titles against Best Friend, Wardlow and MJF against Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. I think that there's one more. Sheeta is facing Penelope Ford, defending her AEW Women's title. That's happening on AEW. And then at the same time, on NXT, they're going to have the Great American Bash featuring non-title match Io Shirai and Sasha Banks, strap match between Dexter Lumis, Roderick Strong, Timothy Thatcher versus Oni Lorcan, I think it is. That should be really fun. It's either Oni Lorcan or Danny Burch. It's one of those two guys. That should be a lot of fun. There's going to be a four-way, Tegan Knox, Mia Yim, Candice LeRae, and Dakota Kai to figure out who is going to be the new number one contender. So really, really strong lineups.
So this totally wasn't a calendar programming for against AEW. No, they just thought they said, hey, this is Run American Bash for NXT this week. Yeah, AEW's on Fyter Fest. We didn't worry about them. Nah.
Hey, man, WWE's always done counter programming, so this shouldn't surprise anybody.
Here's the crazy thing. Now, with Moxley might be out with the whole about the self quarantine with the whole with COVID-19. I think they was trying to run that. Keith Lee, Adam Cole main event for night two, the following week against him and Brian Cage. But, you know, now with everything that's been going on, it might be changing. You know, that card might be changing. We don't know. I mean, on the AEW side, NXT might keep theirs the same so they can be the big dog in town.
I think Moxley, if he did everything he's supposed to do, he should be fine. It should be within the 14 days to come and wrestle Cage. So he should be fine, hopefully.
I mean, they tape with both of them, right?
On both nights? I think tomorrow is live, and then they'll tape it the next day, okay. I think, maybe. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, as always, card subject to change in these times and days of coronavirus and availabilities changing day by day, week by week. But yeah, Wednesday is just going to be a great night of wrestling if you're into wrestling. So, you know, soak
it up. You should be into wrestling if you're listening to us talk.
Yeah, soak it up. It's gonna be a pretty awesome birthday gift. Triple H, how'd you know? Io Shirai versus Sasha Banks on my birthday.
Listen, they announced that. I was like, oh, Dawn is going to. We are going to flip in that hashtag. I said, I don't know. I said, I might just record AEW and just watch NXT.
Oh yeah, look at you.
No, because normally I would just watch AEW because AEW was the better show. But then when they seen that, I seen that lineup for the Great American Bash, I was like, oh, I'm gonna flip the script. And plus, it's limited commercial interruptions, so they definitely pulling out the stops with this one.
Yeah, they're trying to capitalize on winning the ratings last week, just because they've put together, you know, NXT is doing what they've been doing here lately. They kind of broke away from the Raw mold and SmackDown mold and went back to being NXT, and it's helped them the past couple of weeks as they won the ratings last week.
Yeah. So they say that it was something else I had heard. So I heard with Tessa Blanchard being released, they saying that WWE is looking like the forerunner that they're signing her and everything.
I don't know if they're going to want that blowback.
That's what the word on the street is, but you never know. They might change their mind, you know, with everything going on.
Yeah,
you know.
Sometimes you got to take the temperature in the
Big
room.
Big Swole wanted her to come over to AEW, but AEW wasn't interested.
Nah, because AEW is not trying to, you know, they're trying to be like, hey, we don't tolerate all this and all that and everything that she was accused of. They definitely would be going against their little credo motto that they've kind of established for themselves. So, yeah, definitely not a good look.
One more thing about the bash, it was generally the Great American Bash was generally mostly it was in Baltimore, and Jubilee Julep had asked me about my feelings on how. On them running, that without not being in Baltimore, and I'm like, well, it's been 20 years since the last Great American Bash was held here.
The original NWA concept was the Great American Bash was basically a 2-week tour through the South and the Northeast and the Midwest, where they they held events in all the like baseball stadiums. So the Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, Cincinnati Red Stadium, the Gator Bowl down in Florida. So it was all these big stadium shows. And the crown jewel of each of these nights was the War Games. So they would do the War Games like every other show or something like that. So, so Ric Flair and them would, like, have to wrestle that match, like, 4 or 5 times in that 2-week period. And if Ric Flair wasn't in the War Games and he was then defending the title against Hawk or Nikita Koloff or, you know, Dusty Ray. And then, of course, the penultimate last one would be, you know, the big title match against Dusty Rhodes or whomever. So that was the original concept of the Great American Bash, was a 2-week tour around the country of these big stadiums. Then once it became WCW, then they started concentrating it to this, the one event, usually, like you said, in Baltimore. They tend to always have that in Baltimore, I guess, because, you know, close to D.C. And also Baltimore just was a great wrestling venue, great wrestling fans for WCW, NWA.
Yeah, they didn't. They just really didn't. When WWE picked it back up, they didn't run it back in Baltimore. you know, kind of like how it was before. So it was just like we ain't having, like, I was going to try to get a chance to just watch that last one that we had, they had in Baltimore 20 years ago, just to see what was the climate. Like, I think WCW was about to get ready to close and everything. So that was like the last one they held. So,
but yeah, it was Triple H, man, showing love to WCW, Dusty. He even though he's like a total WWE like lifer, he's never forgotten his WCW roots, though.
Cool, terrorizing. And it's like they have, you know, you can think of, but look at a strap match. That's definitely old school. That's definitely WCW, NWA old school right
there.
That
would be more of Bruce Pritchard's type booking than Triple H's, actually, in my mind, because Bruce Pritchard was always talks about how growing up in Houston, the Wahoo McDaniel, the strap match was like the penultimate match.
Yeah, but I mean, you always reading those old wrestling magazines, and you will always see like strap matches with just highlight certain you know wrestlers, like you said, Wahoo McDaniel.
It's like the Russian chain matches with the Russians, Ivan and Nikita Koloff. You know, just had their specialty type of matches that everybody had. So yeah, that should be fun with Dexter Lumis and Roddy. It's gonna be interesting to see how they book it, how Roderick Strong gets over his fear at Dexter Lumis. So big week coming up, should be a lot of fun. Use those hashtags for AEW Dynamite Cast, for NXT NXT Cast, and also for New Japan Cast of Strong Style.
So it's going to be like tomorrow morning?
Yeah, 6 a.m. usually.
Oh, 6 a.m. Okay. Yep. All right, cool.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to see if I'm be up so I can catch some of it, because...
Don't worry. Watch it at 8. It's the same thing. That's what I do, homie. I rarely watch it live. Sometimes I might, if I get up early enough, I will. But if I wake up at like 7:15, I'll just wait the 45 minutes and then at like 8:15... start it and watch it. It's the same difference.
Okay.
If you do go back, though, and you really want to watch something, like, off the effing chart for this New Japan Cup, like, you haven't really been watching it, but you want to get a flavor of it, let me tell you which night to go to. I think it's night 3, but I gotta... Let me go back in my notes, and I'll tell you for sure. It is, yes, night 3. Shingo Takagi versus Sho from the Roppongi 3K. Dude,
yeah,
they had a banger in the Best of the Super Juniors last year in the finals. This shit right here, just as good. And then
okay,
and then they followed that shit up with Kota Ibushi versus Zack Sabre Jr. Oh man.
It was night 3 from this year?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, check that out, man. You won't be disappointed at all.
Okay, all right.
All right, so this time...
go
ahead.
No, I was just saying, it's always good to catch the New Japan side and see those great matches. You recommended everything, so I'll definitely give it a watch.
Yeah, man. Do that for sure. Use that hashtag, Cast a Strong Style. Me and Anwar Star, we're going to try to get together, and we might just have a big old dump of we just highlight some of the matches from the second round, and then we'll talk about the semifinals and the finals. I think the finals, which is Friday, I think that's going to be free to the public. I think so. I'll have to double check, but I am thinking that I saw that last week when I was scrolling through to watch these matches, that one of these events is going to be free, and I think it's the finals.
Okay.
Yeah. So your shout outs and thank yous at this point.
All right, well, shout out to you, Dawn. Shout out to Sam, DD, Greg, Classic Mel gets her shout outs always. Shout out Julep. Shout out to everyone, Jay to the Max, everyone who hits shares with us in the hashtags. I appreciate you all. We make the shows that much more fun to watch, because if I was just watching it, I'd probably just turned it off and just been like doing something else. But the hashtag, the everybody who comes to the hashtag with us, you keep it entertaining, and I appreciate you all for it. And that's it.
All right, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, thank you once again for joining me this week on this week's edition of The Rawcast. Give a big shout out to Miss J to the Max, who joined us for the NXT cast this past week, along with Miss Simi and War Starwin, of course, the ladies of the Forever Young cast, all the Wrestle Bays and members of the Glow, everybody here on the CSPN. Please support the CSPN by going to the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN. Become a patron. If you become a patron at the $3 or $5 tier, then you'll automatically be granted access to the Dark Match, where we review AEW each and every week, and also where we have our off-the-air candid conversations about sometimes wrestling, sometimes not, but they're always fun conversations. We actually had two editions of the Dark Match this week, where we had our AEW review between me and Miss Simi, as we talked about the week before Fyter Fest, leading up to the big event this week. And also, we had another one where we caught up with Anwar Starwin and Jay to the Max to see how they've been doing during the last 3 months of the pandemic and the quarantine and everything. So please become a patron, support the podcast. You can also go to cspn.us, click on the tab that says Keep Our Podcast Free. On the drop-down menu, click on any of those sponsors, do some shopping as you normally would, and some of your purchase will come back to help keep the podcast free each and every week. So for my co-host, Mr. Mozart underscore Reese, I'm your host, Don De La Rente. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
You see, Ray, we are bound by fate. And as fate would have it, I am the Monday Night Messiah. As fate would have it, Rey Mysterio, you are meant to be a sacrifice for the greater good of Monday Night Raw. And so, yes, you are correct when you say you will step foot in this ring again. And every single time that you do, I will tear you down piece by piece, Ray, until there is nothing left but a memory.
Hey, Seth, over here.
But
Seth Rollins, you want to ask me for forgiveness? ¿Me quieres pedir perdón for what you are going to do to me? I want to ask for forgiveness too, but not from you. Mijo, Dom, I hope you forgive me for what I have to do to Seth. For what he did to my eye, and for what he tried to do to you. I was angry at the time when you tried to fight my battles, but I understand. I love you for it. Te amo, cabrón. But I must do something to Seth that's just as remorseless as what he did to me. Seth, remember, recuérdate, an eye for an eye, ojo por ojo. And believe me, what I'm going to do to you is not by fate. Be assured, it will be by design.
I forgive you, Jefe. But I will never forgive you, Seth Rollins. Nunca. And you will never forget what my father does to you. And that will be ordained by fate.
Oh, bravo. Bravo. Strong words, Dominic. Strong words. Clearly, your father has taught you well. Many life lessons, except one. Be careful what you wish for.